WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Shell out big tax breaks for big oil executives as they pollute our planet while reaping massive benefits. The good news is that we have the power to choose a different future. We've got a candidate who has a plan to take on student debt, to protect kids from gun violence, and to ensure that everybody has the freedom to make their own healthcare decisions. And you guys all know this, but that candidate is Kamala Harris. And as I'm sure many of you know, early voting is already underway here in Wisconsin. And it's super, super easy to join your friends and go out and cast your ballot. I have already gone to Memorial Union and voted early for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Just a quick reminder, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now just past 8 o'clock. Our legal ID here for stations along the way across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to a special live coverage of remarks by Vice President Kamala Harris at the Dane County Coliseum. And many thanks to Catherine Lake and also Aaron Zommers back at the home station. You're hearing UW-Madison student Ty Schanhofer, who, according to our notes, this will be his first presidential election to vote in. So certainly very exciting for this young man. We're monitoring things here at the district in downtown Eau Claire. Now back to
his tracks. Our next president of the United States, Vice President Kamala Harris.
Picture the vice president now on stage, Beyonce's Freedom blaring, the vice president in a natty black pantsuit stepping out to a standing room only crowd, 11,000 plus light. It is a spectacle. We've had Manford and Sons. It is a rock concert. People are on their feet, all kinds of red and white vote badger signs for Harris walls all over Dane County Coliseum. These folks are pumped. Reed Galen, Mr. Trigby Olson, myself here at Eau Claire. We're going to watch this, bring you the post game. But right now, here is the Vice President of the United States, live from Madison, Wisconsin, Kamala Harris.
Let's hear it for Ty! All right, Madison, are we ready to do this? Madison, it's good to be back. And many of you may know, when I was 5 years old, my parents taught at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And so for a time, my sister Maya and I lived not far from here in a house on Lake Mendota. So it's good to be back, and it is good to be with so many incredible leaders. And I first of all want to thank everybody who is here right now for taking the time you have taken to be here. I also want to thank our governor of Wisconsin, Evers, Governor Evers. Thank you always. Every time I land, he says, welcome home. Senator Baldwin. And can we hear it for our amazing musicians, Gracie Abrams, Remy Wolf, The National, and Mumford and Sons. All right, so Madison, early voting has started. Here in Madison, you can vote early now through Sunday, November 3rd. And we need you to vote early, Wisconsin, because we have 6 days left in one of the most consequential elections of our lifetime, and we have work to do. But we like hard work. Hard work! Hard work is good work! Hard work is joyful work! And make no mistake, we will win. We will win. Yes, we will. We will win. We will win. And I will tell you, we will win. We will win because when you know what you stand for, you know what to fight for. And we know an opportunity in, hey, you know what? Listen, we all want the war in Gaza to end and get the hostages out as soon as possible, and I will do everything in my power to make it heard and known, but, and everyone has a right to be heard, but right now I am speaking. Opportunity in this election to turn the page on a decade of Donald Trump trying to keep us divided and afraid of each other. That is who he is, but Madison, that is not who we are. And folks are exhausted and want it to stop, the pointing fingers. It is time that we start locking arms together as a people who rise and fall together. And it is time for a new generation of leadership in America. That leadership as the next president of the United States. And Wisconsin, you know me. I'm not afraid of tough fights. For decades as a prosecutor and a top law enforcement officer of our biggest state, I won fights. I won fights. Against the big banks that ripped off homeowners, against for-profit colleges that scammed veterans and students, against predators who abused women and children, against cartels that trafficked in guns and drugs and human beings. And Wisconsin, if you give me the chance to fight on your behalf as president, there is nothing in the world that will stand in my way of fighting for you. And here's the thing. And here's the thing. We know who Donald Trump is. This is not someone who is thinking about how to make your life better. This is someone who is unstable, obsessed with revenge, consumed with grievance, and out for unchecked power. And in less than 90 days, it's either going to be him or me in the Oval Office. what you know, and it's here's what we know. If he is elected, it's not going to happen, but if he were elected, on day one, Donald Trump would walk into that office with an enemies list. You know, he talks about the enemies from within. When I am elected, I will walk in with a to-do list focused on your needs. And at the top of my list is bringing down your cost of living. That will be my focus every single day as president. I will give a middle-class tax cut to over 100 million Americans. We will enact the first ever federal ban on corporate price gouging on groceries. We will fight to make sure hardworking Americans can actually afford a place to live. And if any of you out there are caring for an elderly parent, well, my plan will cover the cost of home care under Medicare, so that seniors can get the help and care they need to stay in their own homes. It's about dignity. It's about dignity. And my plan will lower the cost of childcare, cut taxes for small businesses. Do we have any small business owners here? I love our small businesses. My plan will lower healthcare costs because, by the way, I believe access to healthcare should be a right and not just a privilege of those who can afford it. It's about values. It's about values. On the other hand, Donald Trump's answer to the financial pressures you face, well, it's the same as it was last time. Another $1 trillion in tax cuts for billionaires and big corporations. Right. And this time, he will pay for it with a 20% national $1,000 more a year. And on top of that, you would pay even more if Donald Trump finally gets his way and gets rid of the Affordable Care Act. Remember how many times he's tried to do that. And you're booing because if he were successful, it would throw millions of Americans off of their health insurance and take us back to when insurance companies could deny people with pre-existing conditions. You remember what that was like? Well, we are not going back. We're not going back. Just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, we will move forward. Because ours is a fight for the future, and it is a fight for freedom. Freedom. Like the fundamental freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government tell her what to do. And we all remember how we got here. When Donald Trump was president, he hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade. They did as he intended, and now in America, one in three women lives in a state with a Trump abortion ban, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest, which is immoral. Immoral. And look, Donald Trump's not done. He would ban abortion nationwide. Yes, even here in Wisconsin. And he would restrict access to birth control, put IVF treatments at risk, and forced states, listen to this, forced states to monitor women's pregnancies. Just Google Project 2025. Read the plans yourself. And I know we all here know, one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government shouldn't be telling her what to do with her body. Not the government. Not the government. Not the government. And when Congress, together with Tammy's help, when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom nationwide, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. So, Wisconsin, I am asking for your vote. And here is my pledge to you. As president, I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress. And I pledge I know we can make progress. And I pledge then to listen to experts, to those who will be impacted by the decisions I make, and to people who disagree with me. Because look, unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at my table. Pledge to always put country above party and self, and to be a president for all Americans. So it all comes down to this. We are here together for many reasons, but one of the most important, we are here together because we love our country. We love our country. We love our country. And when you love something, you fight for it. One of the highest forms of patriotism, of our expression for the love of our country, is to fight for the ideals of our country and to fight to realize the promise of America. I have always believed in our nation's promise because I have lived it. I grew up as a child of the Civil Rights Movement. My parents would take me to the marches when I was in a stroller, where people from every walk of life came together to fight for freedom and for opportunity. Growing up, I saw how hard my mother worked to give her daughters the same chances our country gave her. And I was blessed. And I was blessed to have family by blood and family by love who instilled in me the values of community and compassion and faith. I've spent my life fighting for people who have been hurt or who have been counted out, but who never stop believing that in our country, anything is possible. I have lived the promise of America. And today, I see the promise of America in all of you. In all of you. In everyone here. I see it in the women who refuse to accept a future without reproductive freedom. And the men who support them. And the fathers and mothers who work hard every day for their children's future. I see it in Republicans who never voted for a Democrat before, but put the Constitution of the United States over party. And every day I see the promise of America in all the young leaders who are voting for the first time. Generation. I just love you guys. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. One of the reasons is you all are rightly impatient for change. Rightly. You, who have only known the climate crisis, are leading the charge to protect our planet and our future. You, who grew up with active shooter drills, are fighting to keep our schools safe. You, who now know fewer rights than your mothers and grandmothers, are standing up for freedom. And what I know about you is these issues are not theoretical. This is not political for you. This is your lived experience. And I see you, and I see your power. I see your power, and I am so proud of you. Can we hear it for our first-time voters? So, Wisconsin. Okay, we got 6 days to get this thing done. And no one can sit on the sidelines. So let's spend the next 6 days so that when we look backward after the sixth day, we will know we did everything we could, okay? So now is the time to knock on doors, to text, to call, to reach out to family and friends and classmates and co-workers and neighbors. And as we do, here's my request. As we do all of that, let's be intentional about building community. And let's be intentional about building coalitions. Let's remember that the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And let's approach this. Let's approach this with that spirit. And with the spirit of in the face of a stranger seeing a neighbor. Let's do it that way, okay? Let's do it that way. And let us remember that your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power. So, Madison, today I ask you, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? States of America.
Vice President Kamala Harris live at the Dane County Coliseum in Madison, Wisconsin. What a speech it was. Fired up and ready to go, to quote Barack Obama. We are live here covering this in the post game at the District in downtown Eau Claire, another critical area of Wisconsin in this great election. Joining me here at the table at the District, one of the founder, co-founders of the Lincoln Project, president of the union. You can join the union at jointheunion.us, correct?
That's
Reed?
Right.
Very good. Reed Galen is here. Also, Trigvi Olson, like myself, a Wisconsinite, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Reed, Trigvi, you've done a lot of these. You've done advanced work for George W. Bush back when we were all Republicans. Reed, first blush, just what did you think of this event as people that put these things on before?
No, she did a great job. The advance team did a great job. The political folks, everybody there. It was exactly what you want less than a week out. Everybody fired up. I thought that she handled the one protester about Gaza brilliantly. She knew exactly what to do. She's probably had to do it before.
Yeah.
She didn't let it ruin her rhythm. She didn't let it distract her. She said, "I'm speaking," which, of course, we know is famous from 4 years ago. And that crowd was ready to go tonight.
Yeah, Catherine Lake, our Civic Media's Catherine Lake from Madison Station. Like I said, I've been to a lot of these. And she has said that in our internal notes here that she never seen or heard an event thus far so loud. And, boy, it sure came across that way today. Trigvi, first thoughts of this event in Madison tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how much energy it has without being in the room in comparison, but it reminds me a little bit, Reed, you remember that 2004 event at the Target Center in Minneapolis?
Sure.
That was the moment that I knew President Bush was going to beat John Kerry, because when you went in there, those people were ready.
Yeah.
And that place was just humming. This place appears to be humming. And I will tell you, if you compare it to the Trump rally up in Green Bay, the contrast could not be more significant. One was
right.
Just a grievance-filled rant where, you know, literally Donald Trump stumbled his way into a garbage truck. literally stumbled into a garbage truck and then stood up on stage in a I don't know exactly what it was, a prison jumpsuit? No, it wasn't a prison jumpsuit.
Like
it was
a
one
sanitation
of those foreign sanitation
yeah.
suit thing. And then it proceeded, I don't know if people have seen this, but it's making its way around. He's like, "I'm going to win in spite of the women."
Right.
Yeah, and that is not the case.
No, that is definitely not the case. Guys, again, we're all former Republicans. You both worked on presidential campaigns. Keep me honest. Listening to this speech tonight and listening to other speeches from both Harris and Walz, where they've come to Wisconsin during this campaign, talking about, you know, tax cuts, talking about affordable housing, talking about good health care. I mean, these are not things that would have been foreign to a George W. Bush or a John McCain. These are unifying principles.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think it's also, as you can tell, a very distinct and direct appeal to those middle-of-the-road and soft Republicans, Todd, that you're talking about, that she is not, you know, look, the Trump campaign has been trying to paint her as a wild-eyed progressive, as a communist, a Marxist, all of the silliness that they've come up with, and I think she's very much trying to say, this is who I am. I'm for all people. I am not to be, you know, I'm not going to be, what did she say? I'm going to be common sense. I'm not
right,
going to be crazy.
Right.
But I think also what's important here is that she is, again, you know, we talk about the closing argument. She is making the argument for her presidency. She obviously sprinkled in plenty of stuff about Trump, but I thought it was important that she made the case for why she should be president and what she'll do as president.
She asked for the vote.
She asked for the vote. And I'll tell you this, too. You know, look, we've been on the road all week. I know we're tired. But when a candidate goes into a crowd like that, Todd, and gets that kind of energy, it recharges them.
Does it?
And
yeah.
You could see, I think, as the speech went on, you could see the vice president picking up that energy, because she is thoughtful. Right. She is not. She is. I mean, she's got a lot of passion. But I think by the end of that speech, she was raring to go. And I think that's the one thing we, you know, is a little bit intangible, is that she probably walked off that stage feeling like $1 million.
Yeah. Just passing it on to Aaron Zomers back at home. We're going to go to 31 past the hour, Mr. Zomers, or 33, whichever you want. You put that in the notes. We'll go to 31 or 33. You can tell me here as we wrap things up. We are at the District in downtown Eau Claire. Trigvi, one of the things that the vice president did not mention tonight, that you guys keep me honest, I didn't hear anything about immigration tonight. Was that intentional because she was in Madison, or is that just an issue they don't want to touch the last 5 days?
We say that again.
Immigration.
Immigration.
She didn't go there tonight.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand, you know, I thought the campaign, and I think I've said this before, was handling immigration really well when they were talking about the bipartisan compromise and should sign it on day one. I don't quite understand why they've gone away from that, because it is a great contrast. Although, I will say, if you look at what Donald Trump is saying, and these things sort of have an ebb and flow to them, of what one side and the other is doing, he's talking less about immigration and more, quite honestly, there's a patriarchal sort of weird bro thing going on within both Trump's campaign and he, certainly amongst his sort of more fringy surrogates like Charlie Kirk, complaining that if men don't get out and vote, you know, they're going to lose, which is true. If you look at the early vote, women are voting disproportionately more than they have in the past, even.
As we've traveled around the state, we were in Osseo today. Tomorrow we're going to be at our great station, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and do an event tomorrow night at Goo's Great Bar in downtown Stevens Point. For those listening, come on down to Goo's in Stevens Point between 6:30 and 7:30 tomorrow. But one of the things that the vice president brought up tonight, and you guys have both talked about this over the course of this campaign, she said, I want to fight for women and not having her fight for women who are not going to have her government tell her what to do.
Right.
That is a message that most principled conservatives should go along with, Reid.
Yeah, and I mean, she put it in the context of freedom. You saw there was a big freedom banner. There was a USA, USA chant. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we used to orchestrate, right? So, I mean, I think they definitely understand both the stagecraft and the messaging, that there's a lot of open territory, Todd, that Republicans have left because, frankly, the Trump message, the MAGA message, is fundamentally anti-freedom.
Right. The other thing the vice president talked about tonight was seeking common ground. And again, this is something you've been critical of other Democrats over the years. But here's a candidate now for president, Kamala Harris, saying, I want to seek common ground. She's tried to build a coalition. We've seen that with Liz Cheney. We saw it yesterday with Barbara Bush, daughter of W. Bush. We've seen it with Dale Schultz and Rob Coles, former Republican senators here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you're seeing in Wisconsin, and certainly as we've been out and about over this, you know, literally over the last several months traveling the state, Todd, people are really tired of this back and forth bickering between the two parties. And what voters, if there are any undecided voters, are those who are hedging, particularly conservatives who are hedging, who are tired of that. What you have to ask yourself is, who is more likely to have Republicans as part of their campaign or work with them?
We will join you tomorrow from Wisconsin Rapids. Reid, Galen, Trigby, Olson, thanks for staying up late. Thanks for being on the road. Thanks for our bus driver, Patrick. Also, Mr. Chris Giese for being our videographer. Aaron Zomer is running the board back home. Corey Hartman, our chief engineer. We'll see you tomorrow on Civic Media. Stay tuned now for ongoing programming. This has been a Civic Media News Special Report.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the next New Wisco Weekend, make a difference and change the world. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Stories of change through music, finding your happiness, and helping others one cup at a time.
Saturday morning at 8, Sunday at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And we're just having our normal little chit-chat here. What did you call it now? Nervous optimism?
Nauseous optimism instead of cautious optimism.
I wish I had a t-shirt place here. I'd have whipped a few of those together. Well, Haley, you put something interesting up in the chat. That's some more information, and it really resonates too now when he made that switch.
Oh, right. Yeah. So this was like one of the only musicians that Trump could get to come to his rallies because no musician wanted him using that, their music. But Nicky Jam actually showed up to one of Trump's rallies, recently and endorsed President Trump. And I guess today he took back his support for Trump after the joke about Puerto Rico, because I guess Nicky Jam is from Puerto Rico or has some Puerto Rican descent. But I also just want to mention too, when Trump did welcome Nicky Jam to the stage, that Trump welcomed him as a female, and he was something like, "Oh, Nicky Jam is so beautiful," and then Nicky came up to the stage and was like, "Actually, I'm a he." I don't remember if you guys remember. Do you remember that? I thought it was really funny when it
happened.
That
is funny. I just got to remember, did I ever like Kid Rock? I thought I did like 30 years ago. And now him and a couple other people I just can't handle anymore. Mm. Have I grown out of Kid Rock, Arvina?
I hope so.
Seriously.
My goodness.
I hope so.
Well, what's crazy too is that like no one, well, it's not crazy that no one wants to endorse Donald Trump, but I know like Kamala was doing Beyonce music at a lot of her tours and when she was touring across the country, and Tim Walz was using a lot of Bruce Springsteen music, and both Beyonce and Bruce Springsteen did like benefit concerts in support for the Harris Walz ticket.
Yeah.
Which says a lot.
And then there was a lot of cease and desist when it came to what Trump's musicians were saying when he was playing music without. It's just, when is this nightmare? I feel like this nightmare is almost over. We're going to have some ramifications, I'm sure, after the fact. But I don't plan on doing any traveling or any of that. I'm staying put. And I don't know. I'm really, really excited. I've just been reading the polls and deciphering things my own way and listening to people that aren't counting on, like, our mass media. It counts, you know, corporate media counts on this being close, so they're relevant, right, Arvina? And I think that's a big thing. They don't talk about the 3-6% they automatically give Trump because they were so way off, the pollsters were, in 2016. So there's all these weird things going on that really point in a landslide victory, and we as Ho-Chunks will get that flat cedar out and sage and smudge ourselves off as much as possible.
There's gonna be a lot of smudging on Tuesday and maybe on Wednesday too. I like 2020, I honestly don't know what to expect of like when we will find out vote totals, because they're, you know, in Wisconsin, you can't start counting the votes until the polls are closed. So we've got this glut of absentee votes that are sitting waiting that, you know, aren't, you know, for the media, like that when they're trying to call a race, you know, they might not have the same information. It makes it more difficult because, you know, these people are not being exit polled because they voted, you know, sometimes in weeks earlier. We might not know for a couple of days, which is terrifying because I know we all get hyped up and want that day to be like the final day. You know, we've suffered through all the attack ads and you know, the million texts begging us for money, and we just want it to be done, and hopefully it will be. But you know, I am really not sure what to expect in a post-pandemic world, in a world where this race is somehow in a statistical tie, just no matter how you cut it, when it should be, you know, we'd like to think that it's super obvious, but apparently it isn't to a lot of people.
Well, one of my favorite baseball caps that came out, and it was red in the 2016 president, was let's make racists afraid again and put them back in their hole. There's always been this deep-seated racism that's coming out and that Trump's brought out. And, you know, only half the country vote, and, you know, half of them or 40% of them are voting for Trump. It's a third of our country's deep down bone racist and afraid of the future, and don't feel like they're being listened to. And I think that was one of the things that a lot of Bernie voters went to Trump that first time, because he was running on that. And but they all know better. And I still
we
think
hope.
It's gonna be a landslide.
We hope they all know better.
Well, I think they know better. What else is going on, Arvina? I know that was really good to hear about what's happening in Wisconsin politically.
Yeah, well, in terms of Emerge, I want to shout out my candidates. We have 12 women running for office who are Emerge Wisconsin alums. So I'm keeping track of all of their races. And, you know, we are hoping for 100%, you know, our organization, for if you are a first time listener or have not heard me yet, Emerge Wisconsin is an organization that recruits and trains Democratic women on running for office. And we have, like I said, we have 12 candidates that are up for election, and we're feeling pretty strong about their chances.
That's exciting. That's really, really exciting. And do you have any names, or do you want to just not go there right now?
Oh my gosh, I would have to say all of them, and yeah. I don't want to play favorites. Mama loves all of her babies.
That's right. Well, you know, I just want to back up to, I know you heard a little bit of the governor, and I really liked what Governor Evers said about how he really likes how the native governments are run, and it really ignites him and the leadership that the native communities in Wisconsin are. And I can see that. And personally, I really like our president of Ho-Chunk Nation, and he's dynamic and well-spoken and very smart person. And it's great that he's leading our nation. And I know the other 10 tribes too in Wisconsin have great leaders too.
Yeah. And I think it shows something great about Governor Evers that he sees and acknowledges tribal leaders as his peers, and not as some, you know, special interest group or anything, but somebody that, you know, partners in taking care of constituents, because, you know, there's overlap in, you know, who is represented by both, and we're really working together to provide the best options and the best services that they can for their shared constituents. And, you know, you guys have the same kind of tribal consultation plans and agreements that Governor Walz put in place. And I really think that kind of experience, working with tribal nations and working with tribal nations again as peer governments rather than as special interest groups, really bodes well for a potential Harris-Walz administration. Mm-hmm. And I think that is terribly important, as opposed to the other guy who just, you know, is probably best known for derisively calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, using her name as a slur, but also, you know, famously saying, well, they don't look like Indians to me.
About the casinos
Well,
really good point. And one other point too that I think you were alluding to is that Governor Evers did talk about like you said, how important sovereignty is for Native Americans, and that is the government that you speak of.
Absolutely. And you know, he walks the walk too, and in having a very robust tribal consultation policy that all of the state like administrative or departments are required to hold every year official consultations with tribes, as well as having tribal liaisons to work between those two governments. It's legit, and it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's authentic, you know, and a sign of respect, and that's the kind of leadership that we need at all levels of government, local, state, federal. Because, you know, I firmly believe that tribes working with other units of government is really the best way to get services and provide better circumstances for tribal members who are often pushed into the margins. And having this kind of double coverage really just improves outcomes in every field, whether it's life expectancy or health or economic status. You know, these things just help, you know, lift all boats.
Hey, can you hold on for one more segment?
Sure can.
I want to talk about the possibilities of having a Native American woman as governor here in Minnesota and how excited I am about that. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and Haley Cherry. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
This November, we have a clear choice for who's truly fighting for our Indigenous communities in Minnesota. Democrats created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, made college tuition free for Native scholars, and legally affirmed our Native sovereignty. By signing co-stewardship agreements to manage federal lands, we return the lands of the Upper Sioux State Park to the Upper Sioux Tribe and over 11,000 acres back to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwa. This November, vote for the party that stands with our community. Vote Democrat.
Paid for by the Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
For everything you need to know about voting in Minnesota, visit the Secretary of State's website at mnvotes.org. Find out where to vote, check registration status, and view sample ballots. Again, for all your voting information, go to mnvotes.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
The Minneapolis Institute of Art is featuring the art and legacy of Jody Falwell, a groundbreaking potter from Capa Owinga, New Mexico. Over the past 50 years, Falwell has revolutionized Pueblo pottery and Native art by weaving in personal, political, and social stories into her pieces. Her exhibition titled Opawa Omung shows the incredible range of her work and the impact she's had on both Native and contemporary American art. You can check it out at MIA through January. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, this is the last part of the Native Roots Radio here, and we're with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and Haley Cherry, the big producer here on the big show here. I always wanted to say that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the possibilities, and this gets me excited too, as being a Native American, of our next governor here in Minnesota.
How exciting. You know, I know I've spoken of it in the past, but I when I first heard Governor Walz's name be floated as a potential VP pick, my first thought was immediately, oh my God, if it's him and they win, that means Peggy is governor. That was literally my first thought. It's just, it's more exciting than words for me. I am truly thrilled about this prospect, and, you know, should everything go the way that we are hoping it to go, I will be planning on coming up for the swearing in ceremony, because I have to, that's history. And, you know, I think that Lieutenant Governor Flanagan is incredible, and she's sharp, and she has empathy, and has all of this, you know, knowledge and all of these skills that are exactly that what we want in our leaders, and making decisions for the greater good of all of us. You know, she's really top notch, and I can't gush any harder.
Well, you know, her story is interesting. So she started out as a school board and worked her way up. And one of the things when they both ran for governor and lieutenant governor, I don't know if I've brought this up before with the Arvina, but they did it at the Indian Center, and they talked about the history between them. She was working kind of like Emerge Wisconsin. It was the Wellstone project where they'd bring new candidates in. And he was, Governor Walz was one of her students. So their history goes way back. And they've always said it was going to be a partnership when it came to the governor and lieutenant governor. And I can tell you, Arvina, I like politics, but I couldn't tell you who the last three lieutenant governors were. But, you know, in Minnesota, because really they didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that their relationship is one built on a base of mutual respect. And I think I think it's really apparent. And I think that, you know, provides a lot of trust in amongst your constituency. You know, knowing that they might not agree all the time, but they're going to have a good, thoughtful discussion about it, and be able to talk to each other in a way that's productive and doesn't turn into these stalemates. And that's how you get things done, is when you are able to have respect for each other and work on compromising. You know, that's how we make progress. And I see their partnership as one that is just ripe for progress.
Absolutely. And then Governor Walz, which I didn't know, and I thought I knew everything, worked in a tribal school when he first became a teacher. I know a lot of my peers as teachers have done that and worked in reservations and as starting out in teaching. That's amazing. And it's also going to be translated in to maybe doing more things in the Harris-Walz administration that Joe Biden did just a few days ago about apologizing about boarding schools.
Absolutely. And we're going to get closer to, you know, and hopefully achieve all of these or have all of these longstanding conversations that need to be had for like a historical reckoning of you know, what happened until now. And understanding that is how you start to understand where we are today. It's just absolutely crucial to understand that history, and then be able to, you know, address root cause issues for problems, and, you know, come up with short-term, medium-term, and long-term solutions for these larger issues that, you know, when you come down to it, a lot of the issues stem from things like racism or sexism, and being able to understand that and acknowledge that really opens doors in terms of being able to handle a contemporary problem.
Yeah, you know, and history, if you don't know your history, you tend to repeat it. And we really have to speak our truth. And I know we have. And things, I guess I'm 63 and I never would have thought any of this would be happening in my lifetime, including Obama. I really felt like the country was a certain way, but it's been in flux and changing over the years, and changing in a good way, where we're going to have more voice and more people that have different ways of being and become one melting pot, the way I guess the founders of this country hoped it would be. And then also working with our own sovereign nations too.
Absolutely. I like what you said about, you know, having people from different perspectives and from different ways of viewing the world. I know that I had watched a speech of Peggy Flanagan's during the George Floyd riots or demonstrations, rather, not riots, demonstrations. She came at that conversation as a way to heal, and the things that she said were very much things that would be said by a strong Native woman, and taking from her experience and her worldview as a Native woman, and really I think came to a very difficult conversation and came in and was able to bring the temperature down a bit, but in a respectful way, in a way that honors the pain of the people who are protesting, who are feeling all of this, and understand, and I just thought it was so masterfully done. And we need to have people with diverse experiences, diverse worldviews, looking at all of these problems. I always say that a legislative body, you know, is going to have blind spots. And if you all have the same experiences, you all have the same blind spots, those are just there. And nobody knows anything and knows how to fix them, or even knows that the problems are there. But when you have these different experiences, that collective blind spot gets smaller and smaller, and people are closer to the edges. And so they can better see collectively a potential blind spot being approached than if it was everybody, you know, in their very same similar experiences. And that's how you come up with forward-thinking policy that is going to help the most people that can be helped.
Wow, Arvina! Wow, you hit a home run there. I agree, and that's amazing. I just got to say one quick thing. We only have a minute left here, and I'm always amazed when we'd see Governor Wall speak or Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, that they do it from the top of their head, and they blow me away that they're such great speakers.
Yeah, and I think that just goes to show like how much they do really care about the people and for the people that they're serving. And yeah, I think this is the way it should be.
Yes, Arvina, I want to say a big peeny geegy. It's always a great show when you're on, and we always Haley and I are always excited when you are able to be with us. And I know the people that listen to us in Wisconsin love you.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram, co-host with me, will talk to Charles Franklin from Marquette Law School Polling, going into the numbers, plus Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political director, while listening to All Sides. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Trying to find a place to stay in Green Bay for the big draft? Go to SimpleLifeRentals.com. Vacation rentals made simple. Our dedicated team of local experts have a passion for hospitality, creating seamless guest experiences for guests. Experience the NFL draft in a vacation home instead of a hotel room. With seamless check-in and check-out procedures and round-the-clock dedicated support, you'll enjoy the convenience of instant online booking at SimpleLifeRentals.com, guaranteeing you a stress-free start to your vacation. SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.